when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way while we do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Amen.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sits we will go. Never tear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
You may be seated. And a good evening to you. Hope that y'all had a nice evening at home and you made it back. And I had about three different phone calls. My phone was turned down from the service this morning. I never got any of them. But I got some texts, and Carolite, a good friend of ours, is in the hospital in really bad shape, and that just happened today. So if you would pray for her. Her husband is Tyke. You would know him by Tyke Light. If you knew him at Grace, his name's Arthur, but he was always called Tyke Light. Anyway, Carol has been a longtime friend of ours, and she's not doing well right now. If you would pray for her, we would appreciate that. And don't forget those in our church that we pray for on a regular basis. So good to see Danny back again today, and pray for Becky. Always pray for Becky, and when you're praying for Becky, pray for John too. Anybody else have a prayer request you want to make known tonight? Mouse?
Okay.
And Rick Taylor and his family. Don't forget Rick. Anyone else? Okay. We got 2 weeks until Celebration Day. Hope you're getting ready for that. I've got some really good music lined up for it. We're going to sing the day away. And it's going to be a blessing. You'll be glad you came, I promise you. And again, for Angie, if you don't have your money in, you need the money for the tickets by the 7th, right? And what about the rest? Just by the end of May. Okay. So it's for you who are young, it's 100 plus 123 for the housing for two nights. And for you who are old, you get a $10 break. Don't forget that. I'm so glad I got old. Okay. Could I have a couple ushers, please, to come? We'll receive the offering tonight. John, since you got to be up here anyway, you might as well come on. In fact, I believe you can do it, can't you? This is the side over here. Okay. Tom, would you bless this offering? Amen.
Comes to sing. When I lead singing, I sing what I want to. When you lead singing, you sing what you want to. Page 279. Just going to sing the first and fourth because this one wears me out. I'm going to let you stand and sing with me, please.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through Him I must swim. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, it a safely keep. And He leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love Him so. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice,
cares will pass, home at last, ever to rejoice.
All right.
There it is. Yeah, that's a good thing. Me being able to hear. On the same theme.
The topic of salvation comes up quite often, and what things hinge on salvation, what salvation hinges on. There is a phrase that we use, the means to an end. You know, what gets us to the end result? And when we say means, we're talking about something or someone is necessary to get us to the end, to wherever it's taking us. And salvation is no different. There is a means of salvation so that we can come to a conclusion. There's also a verse of scripture that tells us that faith cometh by hearing. There are actually two means that we'll take a look at here tonight, and I would have to make the statement that there's nothing else needed. It is what's necessary to come to the place of salvation. If you will turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, I'm going to read the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Talking about the Word of God. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's go ahead and read verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this scripture tonight. And we're just going to give you some thoughts about salvation. If you get any questions from folks about are they saved or are they not, you might get some good stuff from this tonight to help you answer their questions. Lord, we thank you for your word, because we know it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the truth. It's everything we need for our salvation and for the life we live. We praise you for everything you've done. We're going to praise you for what you're going to do. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're having a problem with what you believe about salvation, and whether you are saved or aren't saved, or exactly how you got to where you are, you might just find an answer here tonight, because there are two things that are utterly necessary for your salvation. And these are the means: faith and repentance. Forget anything else that you know about salvation, because we're going to focus in on this, and if you can put anything else together that'll help you understand it later, you can do that. But right now, we want to focus on two things: faith and repentance. The necessity of faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that will have you to escape the wrath of God. It is a necessity. There is no way that you can get around it. A person cannot please God without faith. That is for salvation or at any time in your life. You're not going to please God by things you do after you're saved without faith. If it's just something you do without trusting that God will get the glory for it, it's not going to be good. It doesn't please God. That's what he says. So without faith, you cannot please God. And by it, we are made partakers. How do we receive or get salvation? How do we partake of it? We partake of it by faith. Not of what you can conjure up, but because of what God has already said. We have faith in what he said and what he did. And he did everything necessary. He said everything necessary. We don't have to believe in anything or anybody else. It's a remedy. It is a remedy. It will make you whole. But without faith, you won't experience that. By faith, a person enters into a covenant with God, and it's a covenant of peace. A peace that you did what God asked you to do, and that's where you are. You're inside that area that he fixed just for you, that if you would have faith in him and what he said he would do and what you could do, if you would have faith in that, he would give you peace of mind. A whole lot of things can happen in your life after you're saved. Your peace that you got from him needs to stay where it's at, because it's what he gave you when you accepted him as your Savior. You got peace from God. It's important to have peace. In fact, it's so important, he said it was. Salvation or damnation turn on this point, the point of faith, whether you believe what he said or you don't. So do we. Now, if we do, you got to lock them in, because I'm going down a list of things. And as we come to these, I want you to lock them in, because you have to believe that before you can move on to anything else. If you don't, you'll just be scattered into a lot of different thoughts. So if we don't get past the necessity of faith, and you, it's not your faith, by the way. You didn't create faith. He created faith. He gave you the faith that was necessary for you to believe. In other words, when you came to the knowledge that your sin of unbelief was taking you to hell, and there was no other way for you to get to heaven except to believe on him for the salvation of your soul, when you came to that knowledge, there's nowhere else to go. You can't go to the right or the left. You have to face that right then and do something about it. So do you believe what he says he's going to do? Do you believe that he said, if you would believe in me, I'll take care of your sin. I'll fix you so that you can go to heaven. I'll fix you so that you're saved for eternity. And when you come to that place, you believe that. You believe that by faith you can be where you ought to be. Well, when you accept that and you come to realize that and you believe that, then and only then are you ready to repent. I'm afraid that a lot of people have made a decision for salvation without repentance. And that's not possible, because it's a means to salvation. Just as faith is a means to salvation, so is repentance. And I'm not talking about, and I think I said one time, I used to put true repentance, and I'm not so sure that true ought to be a part of it, because repentance is repentance. If it's false repentance, it just simply means you didn't repent. Repentance is repentance. But we'll go ahead and say true if you want to. But you have to repent of your sin. That means you recognize that your sin is your sin, and your sin is taking you to hell. And your sin, S-I-N, is your unbelief in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is not your drinking. It's not your drugs. It's not any other cussing, fussing, whatever else is in your life that you feel like is wrong, how you treat people, whatever. It's all that stuff comes, takes care of itself after you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of your soul. If you don't believe in Him for that, the rest of it's not going to be taken care of anyway. But if you will, I guarantee you, in your life as you live it, it's not a one moment fits all. You don't just in one moment accept Christ as your Savior and move on with your life and everything's okay. A lot of things are going to come up in your life. But if you have by faith, received Jesus Christ for the Savior of your soul through repentance, you see how they're connected together? Because without one, you won't do the other. And if you don't do the other, you won't have the other. They're both tied together. So you have to put faith and repentance necessary. Let's take a look at repentance, if we might. So, what does it mean to repent? To repent, you've got to feel the pain of the sin. If you don't feel the pain of the sin, there's nothing there to cause you to move on to salvation. If you don't know you're lost, you don't know you need to be saved. Too many people are making light decisions about salvation that don't have a clue about their need for forgiveness. If you don't know you need forgiveness, you're not going to repent. Now, what do you need forgiveness for? You need forgiveness for the sin of unbelief that's in your life. Jesus died so that you could believe and be saved. He didn't die so that you could quit drinking. He didn't die so that you could quit some of the other sins. That's not why He died. He died so that you could believe on His Son, Jesus, who died for you for the salvation of your soul. The other sins take place later on. As you sin, He says, little children, I don't want you to sin. That's after you're saved. But if you do, there is an advocate in heaven that will stand by you and go to God for you, be your lawyer, be your mediator, be anything you need to get you to the other end. I know this for a fact. If you have by faith received Jesus Christ and you have repented of your sin, when you do sin, you will know it. And you will not get by it. It is a narrow road and you can't go left or right on this narrow road. Salvation is a very narrow road. It is not a broad way where you can have free right away of whatever you want. But you see, all those things like that, that's not the point here. The point here is your salvation. We'll get to those things in a second. But those things, faith and repentance, are necessary for you to be saved. The Word of God certifies that whosoever does not repent will perish. Certifies it. Nail it down. If you don't repent because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you will perish. And to perish means that you will go to hell. Your soul lies at stake here, and it's important, or the soul of someone you know, and it's important that they understand that they've got to have faith in God, repent of their sin of unbelief, and then God will make a way for them to go to heaven. Heaven's door just may not be open to a lot of people who think that they're going. I may have not should have used the word may. I think the Bible would make that plain to us that that's not going to be for everybody. Because without true repentance or without repentance, there is no possibility of you going to heaven and perishing by the wrath of God is a sure thing. Talking about salvation. Now, if that sounds a little harsh, it shouldn't sound a little harsh. It's just the truth. The truth is made for us to find the right way, not to know that we're going the wrong way. And of course, if we don't know we're going the wrong way, we're not going to find the right way. But it is so that we can find the right way. When Jesus came, he came so that we could not have to taste of that old curse that was on us, and we could leave it behind and have salvation. Esau was a man who found no place to repent. That's a sad statement, isn't it? But it's the truth. He hadn't by faith accepted what God had for him. What a shame. But that's where it was. True faith always brings along with it true repentance. If your faith is in God himself, no one else, nothing else, no church, no denomination, nothing. If it's totally in him, then you can repent, he can forgive, and you can know you're saved. The uncertainty of salvation is a hard thing to face. It is. I know that. That's why you need to be certain. How in the world are you going to nail it down in your mind and your heart that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are saved and ready to go to heaven? It wasn't because you went to a certain church. It wasn't because you heard a certain preacher. It wasn't because you heard a certain message. It wasn't. I can assure you that is not it. How can you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're saved? By faith, you believe what he said to you right here. If he said it to you and you believed it, and because of that, you repented of your sin and he saved you, as Barney would say, nip it in the bud. Leave it where it is. You don't need to try to figure it out about what God said he would do or what he will do. He's going to do exactly what he said he would do. And by the way, salvation is not for a day. It's not for a week. It's not for a month. It's not for a year. When he gave you salvation, he gave you eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. There's no end to eternity, folks. None whatsoever. When you go to heaven, you're going to heaven for eternity. When you go to hell, you go to hell for eternity. There's no way to figure anything else in there. Eternity is eternity. Now, how faith and repentance are received, both together. Remember, they're the means, both of these. How they're received. They're both required of God. You can't do one without the other. And don't use that phrase that the world likes to use. Oh, I have faith. My faith is in Christianity, or my faith is this, my faith is that. That could be anything that you could write down and you could say that's my faith. As long as it sounds religious, it would be okay. If your faith is not in Jesus Christ himself, him, not a thing, him, it's you got to fall in love with him. You got to know who he is and what he did for you. It is not in anything else that could be pinned down on paper or held in your hand or put in your pocket. It's none of that. It is all right straight from the Word of God. So how faith and repentance are received, because they're both required of God, they're gifts. Gifts that he gives you, that he hands you, that free and clear. It is a gift of God. Don't try to make it anything else. Because in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14, he says this. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are the law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. in the day when God judged the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, just before that, he had made this statement, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek." Everybody, nobody's exempt. Everybody's the same. Doesn't matter how you were raised. You might have been raised in church, might not have been raised in church, might know a whole lot about the Bible, might not know anything about the Bible. Doesn't make any difference. But what will take place is when by faith and repentance, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We got too many ashamed Christians, folks. Shame on us. Shame on us that we don't believe by faith and through repentance that Jesus Christ died for us, gave his life so that we could live, and we go out and live a shameful life because we're ashamed to tell this old world that Jesus Christ is the Savior of this old world. We're afraid we'll be tabbed as something that we don't want to be tabbed. Shame on us. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to me and then to you, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your children, your grandchildren, everybody. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Nobody is going to be left out of this. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith and repentance. How are we going to receive that? Very easy. Very easy. Don't make a big thing of it. It's a gift. You receive it. That's exactly what you do. You receive it. It's a gift. When a gift's given to you, you receive it. We're sinners by nature. We'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? The Bible, I think the Bible's plain about that. We are sinners by nature. You can't imagine a little baby being a sinner, but it was born a sinner. It was born a sinner. There's a time in its life where it comes to the age that it's accountable to make a decision, but when it was born in sin. All mankind is born in sin. So we're by nature sinners, and in themselves can absolutely do nothing, which is good. That's why there's no good in us, none of us. And therefore, we cannot believe or repent without the gift that God give us, which is the ability to have faith in him and repent. I don't have that possibility. Neither do you, neither does anybody. So we receive faith and repentance simply by him. The connection between these two, there has to be a connection. If there's a means to an end, that means there's a beginning and an end, and what happens in between is what ties the two ends together. And if we're going to tie these two ends together, there's a connection between faith and repentance and escaping the wrath of God due to us because of our sin. And it is due us. We owe. Amen? We owe. But who paid the price? Well, we know who paid the price. He paid our debt in full when he went to Calvary. Those who believe and repent will surely escape the wrath of God. I'm going to say that one more time because you have to nail that down. If you've got a question mark in your mind about your salvation or the salvation of any other person, you need to nail this down. Those who believe and repent, the two means to that end of salvation. Those who believe and repent shall surely escape the horrors of hell. Why? Because they're going in a different direction. They're not going in that direction. In the moment a sinner comes to Christ, he is no longer liable to the sin world. No longer. God's taken care of it all. Wrath, the eternal wrath that was on him before is not there. He's not under condemnation anymore. It's not there. Let God handle it. Don't try to figure it out by some other means. I was talking to Scott earlier about the sound room back there, and he says there's no reason, but he used to know, what was that word, Scott? Logic. I thought it was logic. He said there's no logic to how this thing is. If y'all could see the numbers on the wall back there, you'd see they're blue. Well, he says, I don't understand why they're blue. There's no logical reason why they should be blue. But they are blue. I can't change them. He can't change them. Nobody here can change them unless there's somebody in here that says, I can change them from being blue to some other color. There's no logic in it. He said so. I'm going to take him for his word because I don't know anything about it. Nothing whatsoever. The only logic in this world, I see a whole lot of things are not logical myself. The only logic in this world is what we read right here in the Word of God. This is logic. You can believe logic. It's true. It's fact. It's the Word of God. So the connection between faith and repentance is a connection that God connects it with. I can't connect it. You can't connect it. Just believe that what God did connects it. Through faith and repentance, it'll be taken care of. Now the necessity, and I've used the word necessity how many times now? 1, 2, 3, 4 times already. Necessity. We know what necessity is. We know that if something's going to happen and it's necessary for something else to happen so that doesn't happen, we know that's the only way there is out of it. And so necessity is exactly what God said. If something is a necessity, that kind of takes the pressure off you trying to figure it out, doesn't it? There is nothing else to figure out. If that's a necessity, that's what it is. The necessity of using all the outward means that we can come up with whereby Christ does not use to communicate the connection. He doesn't use what we come up with. He uses what he's already done. I'm redeemed because of what he did. I'm not redeemed by anything that I did. All I did was have faith that what God said was true. I repented of my sin. He forgave me of my sin. And when he did, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it to you. You can't explain it either, but I'll guarantee you, you know there was a difference. The old phrase of, you know there was a load taken off your shoulders. You know there was a load taken off your heart. You know that something happened inside you that you couldn't get it done yourself. But when you had faith in God that he would do what he said he would do and you repented of your sin, it's like the floodgates opened and it's gone. It washed downstream. It's out of your life. It's gone. Let it stay gone. Let it stay gone. It's important that it stays gone. My sins are gone. Gone, gone, gone. No more to come back and haunt my life. There's no need for it. God has absolutely required that we take these two means, find our salvation in him, and then leave it alone. Leave that decision alone. Move on to living your life with that salvation. Don't try to reform it. Some years ago, they came out with putty. What is that stuff for kids to play with? Huh? Yeah, I knew you silly folks would know that. I couldn't wait for that. Silly putty. You can make anything with silly putty. You can make it look whatever you want to make it look like. It would just mold and everything. You could transform it from one thing to another just by moving the hands. It was so easy. Folks, our life is not that way. We can't conform our own life. He's the one who conforms our lives. We give it to him so he can transform it, conform. We conform to what he has for us in his word. He's the one who makes us what we are. I can't make me be what I want to be. I'll give my life to him. He makes me be what he wants me to be. And that's where I want to be. So it's not his will, my will that needs to be his. It's his will that needs to be mine so that I can be what he wants me to be. We have no grounds to expect grace and salvation in our hearts, but by the means of faith and repentance, none whatsoever. Don't accept anything else as an answer to where you are in your Christian life or where any of your loved ones are. It is by faith and repentance. I've already done this, so I'm going to do it, Patty, if it's okay with you. At the funeral of Patty's son, Daniel, I told you this. Well, some of you weren't there. Very few of you, really. But that's okay. It was in nowhere land, and Patty didn't expect you to be there. But I was in the hospital talking to Daniel, and I said, Daniel, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. Now, his grandmother said, yeah, I remember when it was, when he was baptized. And I said, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. He said, yes, I do. And I could see he was having a hard time with it because of where his life had taken a turn in the years, these latter years. But I had to look at that young man and see my own self there and see a lot of my own family members, my own friends who had accepted the Lord as their Savior and went a different route. There is scripture to say that you can take yourself out of this whole world earlier than you should. God will take you on before you can do any more damage to yourself or anyone else. And he does that. And that's his mercy. That's the grace of God at work. And I said, well, Daniel, I understand that you used to play the piano, and I could tell as soon as I mentioned him playing the piano that his face lit up, and I said, I'd love to hear you play. He said, when I get out of here, I'm going to come to the church and play. And I envisioned him sitting at this piano and playing. I was so looking forward to that happening. But you see, I'm not God. And I didn't know what God had in mind for Daniel. What God had in mind for Daniel was for Daniel to be home in heaven. He had a hold of something that wouldn't let go. And he was without the power to let go. And you can say, but God is the power to do that. I've never been addicted. So I don't know. But I could see the pain on that young man's face. What I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that when he asked the Lord to save him when he was, 17? When he was 17 years old. See, he lived a lot of years after I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was 9 or 10 years old. He was 17 years old, good-looking young man, talented. At 17, you can say, boy, it would have been good if he had went on with his life and played the piano in church and had a perfect life. And we can always dream, but life is not a dream. There's a reality in life. And sin is reality. And I'm telling you that because I want us to hate sin. And we're talking about salvation. So if you know somebody in your life who is lost, hate the sin. Hate the sin. Hate the sin of unbelief first. Not the person, the sin. Hate the sin of unbelief. But if they're saved and their life is not going in the right direction and there's sin in their life, hate the sin. Pray for them. Hate the sin. Let God do his own thing. We can't take God's place in doing what needs to be done. God will do that. He'll do what needs to be done. Salvation, well, what did he say? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? For one thing, you're not going to escape it if you're lost and you neglect it. You'll go to hell. And if you're saved and you're neglecting your salvation, it's not going to be good for you. You won't go to hell if you're saved and you're neglecting your salvation. One of the saddest phrases that a Christian could use is, I used to go to Sunday school and church, and I used to sing in the choir. I used to do this. I used to do that. That's a sad statement. It is. What you're saying is, I neglected my salvation. You know the reason for most divorces is neglecting. I was listening to Charles Stanley, a little thing. He had a video that he had out, and he admitted that he neglected his family after he got into pastoral work in Atlanta, Georgia. He and his church got so big and everything, and he neglected his family. Neglected his wife and his children. And it ended up in a divorce. And some folks thought he might have to get out of the pulpit and not preach anymore. That didn't happen. His church came to him and said, if you don't remarry, we don't see any reason why you can't keep preaching. When you know what happened. See, things do happen. And I know that a lot of people don't know that about Charles Stanley, but he was open with it. He was wide open with it. You got to be open with the sin, folks. It's okay to admit that we sin, because we do. But then you move on. When there's repentance and forgiveness, you move on. God didn't say, I did this for you so you could quit when there was sin in your life. No, he says, you repent, I'll forgive, I'll take care of it, you move on. There are other people out there that you need to work on and work for and get them saved. Salvation, it's a huge thing. We need not neglect it if we're lost. We need not neglect it after we're saved. We need to pay attention. The message this morning was just a little bit of what I'm talking about. Faith without works is dead. But works without faith is dead too. If it's true one way, it's true the other way. So if your faith is not a saving faith, it's not enough faith to where you can be saved by, it's not going to work any other place either. So don't try to live by faith if you're not saved. It's not going to work. Never has, never will. But Patty, I want to tell you once more, honey. When your son Daniel told me that he was saved, he was saved. I believed him. And it wouldn't make any difference if I did or not. But I believe he was. I believe he was. He showed signs of wanting to do something for the Lord again, because he did. After he was saved, he played the piano in church and sang and everything. Just got onto the wrong thing. Folks, I don't know if you all have any alcohol and drug addicted people in your family or not, but it ought to make us hate it It is a killer. It is a killer. It is sin. And one of the worst things that could ever happen to our society has been drugs and alcohol. I know. And it's in just about every family in America, one way or the other. Let's hate it. But let's don't get it to the point to where that if a person has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith in Him and repentance of their sin and through His forgiveness, that because they've got something wrong in their life that they're bent for hell. Don't take it there. We don't have the right. We don't. Doesn't make us look any better if we make somebody look worse. I know this has been an unusual message and probably confusing at times. But if a person has a hard time settling the fact that they're saved, I want them to know that if they did what God said right here in His Word, not what anybody else said, what He said right here, they can rest in it. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're grateful tonight. We're grateful for Your Son. We're grateful for the plan of salvation by faith and repentance, which give us a means to an end. We don't have to wonder what our end is. Our end is saved, saved, saved. Oh, and Lord, we know there's regrets, regrets, regrets. But we also know that through the regrets, they're saved, saved, saved. And thank You for that. And Lord, we just praise You for everything You've done for us. And everything You're going to do for anyone else who will come to You and by faith repent of their sin of unbelief. They too can know what it's like to have eternity in heaven. And we praise You for everything You've done. In Jesus' name, amen.